Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just love Phil. We know that you love Phil. He's got such a fantastic heart for you, a fantastic heart for people, a fantastic love to reach out and to put his arms around people. Lord Jesus, we know that this is tough times for Phil and for Kathy and the family. And just really want to pray that as he comes to share with us this morning, that you would richly bless him and the whole family. Lord Jesus, that you would fill him up and that he would know your peace and your presence. Amen. Amen. Phil.
Amen. Right, Paul, looking at the time, it's 11:15. How long would you like me to go for?
15 minutes, 20 max.
Okay, I'll try and that gives me a good aiming point. So good morning, everyone. This is a bit of a break from the People of God series, and this week we don't have any virtual Nigel speaking. And I would think of this as the Phil's Children of God series. It's going to be a very short series. And if it were to have a title, I think it would be God and Me. Now, I've been thinking about this since January, since I was asked to speak. And, of course, times from January to now have changed quite significantly. And most of what I want to say is really just the thoughts I've had over the last 15 months when I've been inadvertently out of work, and it's given me a lot of time to think and just to mull over life and my role in life and where I sit and what I do and what do I believe. So I've started with thinking about God, and my questions really to me, but to you as well, is, do you believe in God? Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? When do you really believe it? Really? This is a massive step in faith. And there's so much that we don't understand. I guess the alternative to God is also a massive step of faith. But we need to decide where we stand in this. And, you know, do I believe that God made us? Did he make me? Did he make you? Do I really, really engage with this and really believe that this is my God? Is God love? Is love a defining characteristic of God? Does this mean that everything God has done and will do stems from love? I mean, when I was brought up, I was taught really that God is more of a judge. And for me, that's a bit like calling me an electrician. I've changed some light bulbs, I've done some wiring, I've done some bits, but anybody that knows me would never dream of calling me an electrician. And I think if we think of God as a judging God, we're not really seeing God for who he is. God has a long-term plan for me. I question, you know, am I really going to live one day on a new earth with my God? Am I going to understand more than I do now? Is pain and suffering going to disappear? Does God love me so much that he came to earth to show me how to live? That he wants me to be his child? He wants me to be in his family? And we've just been singing, he'll be lifted up. And it's just so important that we understand that whatever our view of God is now, however amazing we think God is, he's even more amazing than that. And so we need to spend time getting to know God. We need to get closer and closer and closer, because this is what will give us our foundation for surviving, if you like, and for learning to live in the current times that we find ourselves in. I'd just like to play a video. Tim, if we just do it for 2 minutes is fine, and just with a bit of music. And I'd just like us just to reflect on how big is your God? How close to your God are you? Maybe what is your response to your God? So I just wanted to give us just a couple of minutes just to reflect on that. Isn't that amazing? This is our God. This is my God. And God, I stand in awe before your creation. Help me to stand in awe of you, the Creator, who loves me, who invites me to be part of his family. Yeah, Lord, we love you. How do I respond to such an amazing God? And what we've just seen in that video is only a small part of the miracle of creation. There were no sun, stars, moon, galaxies. Sometimes when I'm saying to God, show me a sign, show me a miracle, I feel he must think I'm crazy because I'm stood on one. And, you know, we are so fortunate and we are so loved by God. And it's such a privileged position that we're in. And I just want to put the first picture up. Thank you to my producer. And this picture is another of the miracles or example of the miracles that we didn't see. I don't think that's number two. Is there a first one? No, that's three. No, that's four. Hey, that's the one. So this is an example. Probably the most amazing miracle is the gift of life that God has given us. And there's 7.8 billion of us on this planet. And so when I'm looking for a miracle, I really shouldn't have to look far. And if yesterday was an average day, there are now another 360,000 of us. And there's a sobering thought. What a time to be born with, I don't know, such joy for the family and yet such fear of being born into this kind of climate. But nevertheless, it is part of God's great miracle. And I just, if we go to the next photo, which should be, this is the number two. That baby is the same person you see on the right of your screen now with the bow tie. Had a little bit more hair back in those days than it does now. And if we go to the next one, this is, the Stewart family, with myself stood up on the left. I've got two older brothers and a sister. So looking at that family, it just reminds me that, you know, fashion fades, but style is eternal. Kathy's laughing now. That's not right. And then the final photo. And look at that. Isn't that amazing? See that person I married? And I mean, you can take them away now, Tim. Thank you. But I wanted to show those because not only does it show the miracle of life, but it also demonstrates a journey. You know, we all come from somewhere and we all have a background, a history, and we're shaped by our environment, our family, our friends, our school. We're lucky by the quirk of where we're born. Which country we're born in. There's just so many, and I know I'm one of the lucky ones, and I'm hugely grateful for it. But still living in life, we still get all of these challenges and things that we face. Very much first world problems in my case, but they're still real. And I just, for me, what I've learned to do is create boundaries for myself. It's almost like my life's in a box, and this seems to give me some sort of comfort, and it helps me to define where things belong. And so the myriad of issues that I've learned to make judgment on, which can be big issues and trivial ones, they go from, I don't know, divorce and abortion and sexuality and drinking and overeating and love of money. All these things, you know, I've learned to put in a box. Is it in? Is it out? Is it on the edge? What do I think of it all? And as I've got older, I've learned to expand my boundaries and become maybe a bit more tolerant. And I've almost thought, well, God will be pleased with that. And, you know, I'm now feeling God is saying, Phil, you've got it all wrong. Don't you listen to me? I don't want you to make your box bigger. What I'd like you to do is throw the thing away. Get rid of it. It's the wrong way to approach things. The problem with the approach is that I'm in the middle of the box and it's about me. It's not how I was created, nor what God wants from me. And I need to put God at the center and everything else flows from that. And I used to read verses like, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And think, but what about my family? What about my wife? What about my children? Am I supposed to love God more than them? And the answer is yes, of course. Because the whole point is that my capacity to love is infinitely enhanced when I put God first and understand who he has made me to be. This is why it's the first command from Jesus when asked. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And of course, his next one was to love your neighbor. And this is only because possible if we do the loving of God first. Because when we love God, everything else becomes possible. Forgiveness is possible. Freedom is possible. So it's not my job to put everybody in a box. My job is to love, to forgive, to encourage, to build up. When I see God for who he is, it's then and only then that I have a chance to love everybody else. And so if I just look at where we are with our response, just as a River Church, it's been fabulous. It's been absolutely brilliant that our response to this isolation is to support each other. We're still meeting in a meeting like this. We're still having home group meetings. We're still in communication with each other because it is so important. And, yeah, I know of an amazing God, but the voice of the world sometimes feels overbearing. And I need God more than ever. But I also need the support of you. I need the support of my family. I need the support of my friends. And I don't want you to underestimate the difference your encouraging word makes to somebody. So when I was out of work, I knew people were praying for me, encouraging me, asking how I was doing. It was really frustrating to have to say that, well, I still don't have a job, but it makes a massive difference. And then to have a wife who is encouraging, who's saying, don't listen to the voice of the world that says you're not good enough. You don't have anything to offer. And so, yeah, I just wanted to remind us today that we do have an amazing God. He never leaves us. He walks with us. He loves us. He understands us. I want to encourage us that we must never retire. We must never give up. We must turn to God first in everything. But here's the thing. To know him, we must spend time with him. And out of this, we will have unlimited capacity to love those around us. The fact that God does everything out of love is really important because that's what we need to be doing. The whole emphasis of Jesus' time on earth was to point to God, to tip our world upside down, to prove that love wins. It's the best way, often against the tide of the world, but this is where our battle lies. So I should be constantly looking at how I love others. I don't need to change everybody. I don't need to fit them into my box. So I don't, even for somebody like my wife, I don't need her or want her to be like me, to think like me, to behave like me, even for this. I need to love her and to help her become the best she can be. I need to love my children and help them become the best they can be. None of this equates to control. None of this involves emotional blackmail. It's the opposite. Let them be free and love them the best I can. So the three things I wanted to leave with you today is that our God is so amazing. We will walk through this time that we're going through. It's a reminder to me of how difficult loneliness is. It's something I'm learning through this, but our God is with us and we will come through. Secondly, we need to give time to a relationship to God. We can't just gloss over it. However you want to dress it up, we need to spend more time getting to know God and becoming more like him. And as a result of that, we'll be in a much better place to love the world and love everybody around us, those close and those not so close. So that's really what I wanted to say today. And now we are going to have communion together, which is another reminder of how amazing our God is. Which one of us would forgive not only the physical torture, but the emotional torture that Jesus suffered at our hands. Who of us would forgive that? And yet we have a God who's turned that into a victory. So, yeah, thank you, Lord, and I hand over to Jeff and Sheila.
Well, thanks, Phil. That was brilliant. Thank you so much for that encouragement.